Not be poor again. I will not be poor again the rest of my life. So that brings us also to this dimension. You must change your belief system if you want to experience material wealth or material blessing. You must change your belief system. You must develop prosperity consciousness. It is one major characteristic of people who are prosperous in our world. They think that they are prosperous. It's very important. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus made a statement. He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that what believes." That is not to him that does anything. That is not to him that cries. To him that does what believes. The way the human spirit is designed, it operates by the force of faith. The power of faith. When the human heart believes or accepts something as reality, there is power that goes forth from the human spirit to organize circumstances, to influence the material world to agree or align with the reality in the human spirit. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11:23, "Whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says will come to pass," he said, "he will have whatever he says." The force of the human spirit is unleashed through faith. All things are possible to him that believes. In Matthew 9, two blind men met Jesus. Said, "Have mercy on us." In Matthew 9:29, he said, "According to your faith, so be it to you." And what those two men believed was that their eyes would be opened. And instantly, their eyes were opened. Now, listen, if you understand that, then probably our greatest quest should be to be able to get our hearts to that state of belief. Most people in our country believe that they are poor. That's the truth. I used to believe that I was poor. The proofs were there. Evidence that demanded a verdict. The proofs were there. When you have to wear a pair of shoes till even the cobbler can't do anything about those shoes anymore, what do you do? It wasn't always that way for my family. We were fairly okay. In fact, we kids were the champion kids in the town where we grew up, because my parents made sure they bought designer things. But then something went wrong. And then we tasted what we had not tasted before. Ate food, you know. Some food is poverty food. They don't need to tell you you are poor. You will know you are poor because of the kind of food you're eating. And then So I understand. I understand what it's like for you to want to go somewhere, not have transport fare to go there, for you to, you know, take a stroll or jog. Like, younger brother and I used to jog to church in the morning. And because we were Bible class teachers, we didn't want to go on the main road. Because church members who were going in taxi would see us walking on the road. And we were teaching faith, you know. So we took the back road. We jogged on the back road, right? And where we came out on the main road was not that far from church. I understand that. Like I tell people, I understand what it's like for you to squeeze every ounce out of a toothpaste tube. I mean, you squeeze it. You press everything systematically. Move everything upward towards the mouth of the tube. And by the time you squeeze everything, I know how to press the last ounce out. I know how to use the brush to scrape the inside of the tube. And then I know after having done all, to take a knife and cut the tube. I understand that. And then now scrape the remnant of the toothpaste in the tube. I understand that. But it is not according to your circumstances that it should be to you. It is according to your faith. What do you believe? You believe you are poor? You are poor. The force that comes from your spirit will control the material world around you to create poverty. You believe you are prosperous? That force will control and influence your material circumstances. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus was walking to the house of Jairus, and he was distracted by the woman with the issue of blood, you know, who took her miracle without permission. And that's permitted in the economy of faith. And while he was taking her testimony, then somebody came from Jairus' house and said to Jairus, "Don't bother the master anymore. The girl is dead." And you know, that's the challenge with us human beings. We respond to the environment. We respond to things happening around us. We define ourselves by our material reality. We accept as the ultimate truth the circumstances of our lives. Once this man was told the girl is dead, his faith flew out of the window. He was going to become depressed. He was going to accept that as the ultimate truth. And instantly, Jesus, you know, stepped in. In Mark chapter 5, verse 36, instantly, as they said those words to him, Jesus just turned to him and said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." This man was, he had faith. He was the one who came to call Jesus to come to his house. And then just because somebody said something that the situation got worse, his faith was about to disappear. And Jesus, I mean, even God will not be able to help someone who does not have faith. In other words, he can't help someone to create a situation that is contrary to the situation in the person's heart. That's it. So Jesus quickly stepped in and said, "Don't be afraid. Don't entertain fear. Don't entertain anxiety." And I'd like to ask you that tonight. What are the emotions that you feel with respect to money? Presently, given your financial situation or circumstances, the issue with your accommodation, the issue with your education, the issue, okay, with your finances, whatever it is, what do you feel right now about money? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? I used to worry. I used to worry a lot about what was going to happen, what was not going to happen, if I was going to be able to afford to do this or not afford to do this. And what Jesus said to Jairus is what I say to you tonight. Don't be afraid. In this place tonight, let's run those negative emotions out of our lives. Only believe. Accept what God is saying as your reality. There's something called the fight of faith. And it's something that happens inside you. It is the conflict between the reality of your circumstances and the truth of what God is saying about your situation. And it's up to you to take what God has said and accept that as your reality, or to accept what your situation is saying. Like I said, I know what I am talking about. Around here, when people see someone who's prospering, they think it's because we're prospering, that's why we're talking the way we're talking. And you need to ask for probably the tapes that we preached 10 years ago, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, and listen to them. In fact, if you can find a message that I preached maybe 16, 17 years ago, and you will find out what I said then is what I'm saying now. And the way I said it then is the way I'm saying it now. Same conviction. I said it before I saw it. So, it's easy, I know. Somebody can be easily confused. Okay, it's because now he drives a fine car. Oh yeah, now he pastors a large church. Oh yes, now I mean. So he can say now that he is rich. I said it. When saying it made me sound like crazy. It made me sound like I was crazy. I said it when it didn't make sense to say it. I told people, even when I was jobless, that I was not a local champion and they should watch out for me. I said I was going to the world. When traveling between two towns was not easy. I said I was going to the world. In the days when my pastor, who was wealthier than the rest of us in the church or in the fellowship, rode a motorcycle. A lecturer in a higher institution was riding on a motorbike. I remember the day I went to represent him.